What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy today's episode. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I run their Yankee site, BP Bronx. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gots. You can listen and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show on our website, lockedonyankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying, play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to our account at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we'll discuss Gary Sanchez's shoulder, Luke Voit's workouts, some comments from Brian Cashman, which he made at the GM meetings that are happening right now in California. No idea why I thought they were next week. They're this week. My bad. So, Gary Sanchez had shoulder surgery. I paused purposely before I said that because it's one of the hardest phrases to ever say. That news seemingly came out of nowhere, but he had had issues with his shoulder since 2017, had a couple of cortisone shots last season, didn't help. So the Yankees were like, hey, let's fix this surgically, which good on you. At least you didn't wait until the season started. So he should be okay by opening day. So they say. They said that he was experiencing some discomfort when he was starting his off-season workouts. So they basically just had to remove some debris in his non-throwing shoulder. Christopher Ahmad, Yankees team doctor, performed the surgery at New York Presbyterian on Thursday, and it went as expected. Thank goodness. Cashman said that the shoulder was bothering him from time to time, and when it did, he would complain about it. And they did MRIs. They didn't show anything that was really wrong with it, which is why they did injections. Like I said, they decided to get ahead of it and not wait any longer to fix the problem. So hopefully he'll be back in time for opening day. He will feel good, and he will have a better 2019 than he had 2018. Now, I did see something yesterday about the Yankees being interested in Ryan LaVarnue, which, by the way, I didn't realize he still played baseball. Just so bad. I know, that's terrible. I believe he was with the Pirates, but when I saw the name, my thought was, he still plays baseball? Really? So, who knows? Luke Voit posted his off-season workouts on his Instagram account, and I was sore just watching them. Your boy goes insane during his workouts, and he does those crazy things where he's like banging a tire with like a sledgehammer or whatever the hell that thing was, and, you know, dragging cars and pulling trains by his teeth. All right, nothing that crazy, but close, pretty close. And again, you know, just watching some of the stuff that he's doing, you know, I'm not as active as I was when I was younger. You know, I worked out, but I didn't do anything crazy. And I worked out with a trainer, but again, didn't do anything crazy. I did light weights and, you know, worked on exercise balls and stuff like that. But woo, the stuff that Voit was doing made every part of my body that has lingering injuries hurt. Just watching him bending over and dragging things and, you know, his leg workouts, my knees were screaming, you know, my back was screaming. Just wow. Yeah. So if you have Instagram, it wasn't on his stories. It was on his actual page. He posted a few like short videos of him going ham during his workout. And it was scary. Now, Brian Cashman was asked about Chris Sale because he was reflecting on not trading for him. And he actually is relieved that he didn't do it because the Yankees wouldn't have Severino or Sanchez if the White Sox had gotten what they wanted from the Yankees. And I know they won the World Series this past season, but the Yankees are set up for the future better than the Red Sox are right now. So I would rather be in the position that the Yankees are in than the position that the Red Sox are in. The Red Sox are in the position of being broken up right after a World Series. The Yankees are still building toward the World Series. And again, their future seems brighter. The Red Sox don't really have much of a farm because they traded everyone away for some of the people they have now. And yeah, I'd say it was a good decision. You know, at the time people were like, oh my God, why couldn't they get Sale? But looking back and thinking about how things have gone for the Yankees since, I'm glad that the Yankees still have Luis Severino. He's a bona fide ace. So yeah, I think it was a good decision. Up next, we're going to maybe go into some stuff going on around baseball because other teams are making moves. I had mentioned the other day how the Mariners are probably going to break up their team. Well, they started doing it. And we'll talk about that next, among other things. But first, earlier this week, I mentioned that there were reports that the Mariners were going to tear down their roster, rebuild their team. Jerry DePoto said, not so fast. You're all being overly dramatic. That's not what's happening. And then yesterday, they pulled off a 5-player trade. Now, this doesn't mean that they're tearing down the team. It just means that they like making deals. And this deal involves the Tampa Bay Rays. Seems like Seattle and the Rays just like trading back and forth, as evidenced by this deal, because Malik Smith is returning to the Mariners again, the second time in 2 years. Mike Zunino, Guillermo Heredia, and a minor league lefty, Michael Plassmeyer, are heading to Tampa in exchange for Smith and a minor league outfielder, Jake Fraley. So DePoto made a joke about it in his statement. He said, bringing Malik back home to Seattle is exciting for all of us because they had briefly acquired him in a previous trade. He says, his combination of speed, base running impact, defense, and on-base abilities are unique in today's game. We believe his breakout 2018 performance reflects the many ways his skills will positively impact the Mariners for years to come. And speaking of that, Smith hit 286, 367, 406 with a pair of homers. He hit 27 doubles. He hit an American League leading 10 triples, and he stole 40 bases. He's also really young still. He's only 25. He played all three outfield positions for Tampa, and he was above average in all three of them. They are projecting him to be Seattle's center fielder, which would give them a significant upgrade over D. Gordon, who tried to play center field last season. Didn't do a great job, but he tried. The effort was there. So he will probably go back to second base if he isn't traded himself, because as I said, the rumors are that they're going to be breaking up the roster. D. Gordon could be a person who would also be moving. So we'll see how that works out. So for Zunino, who's spent his entire 6-year career in Seattle, it'll be strange for him being in another uniform and going from such a nice stadium to such a crappy stadium. Safeco Field has high ratings from nearly everyone I know who's been there. They say it's such a great place. And he's going to be playing all of his home games in the slop. Poor Mike Zunino. The Pirates re-signed Jung-Ho Kang. Kang has famously had off-the-field issues, namely a sexual assault investigation and a DUI, but he's worked hard to get back from his substance abuse issues. He's gone through a program. The sexual assault issue isn't great, and people seem to gloss over that fact, but I think every time that you mention him, you need to mention that part of his career. So he was signed to a 1-year deal for 2019 with the Pirates. The Dodgers exercised Dave Roberts' option, and they're planning on negotiating an extension with him. Dave Roberts led the Dodgers to their second World Series loss in a row this season. Good job. I already mentioned Lance McCullers undergoing Tommy John surgery. But there was a picture yesterday of Dallas Keuchel throwing pitches in Safeco Field. I don't know what that means. If Keuchel is smart, he won't go to Seattle. I know I always bag on the Mariners, but I can't help it. It's so bad. It's so bad of me. I can't. There are reasons for it. I won't get into them here, but just, yeah. I mean, I don't want Keuchel anywhere near the AL. I would prefer for him to go into the NL. Just go, leave, bye. JD Martinez did something that's never been done before. He won the Silver Slugger in two positions, outfield and DH. Whoop-de-doo. Good for you. You have two trophies for your mantle. My brother had to remind me that MLB had a bunch of stars playing in Japan this week. And the first game of the series was last night. And Japan won on a walk-off home run. I'm not going to say this right. Yuki Yanagita hit a walk-off two-run home run against Kirby Yates. And the Japan team won 7-6. Soto hit a home run. Ahmed Rosario, Carlos Santana. So yeah, exciting. Again, I completely forgot that they were playing. So they played yesterday, today, because last night's game was technically today. Because of that whole time difference thing. They play Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. And the games will be live, the remaining games, will be live on MLB Network at Saturday's game, tomorrow's game, or I guess tonight's game, because it'll be Saturday there, 4:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. So either wake up early or try not to be spoiled, because the replays will be at 8 p.m. Eastern. So, man, that time difference. I remember when the Yankees played in Japan in 04. Was it 04 or 03? Now I can't remember. I do know Matsui was on the team, which doesn't help because he was there both of those years. But anyway, and waking up to watch those games and wanting to be in Japan because they get so excited watching baseball and they're constantly making noise. And it's just, it looks like a party when you're at a baseball game in Japan. And I would like to experience that. And anyone who has experienced that, I'm very envious of you. So up next, we'll go through more baseball news. But first, so what else is happening in baseball other than the GM meetings and people predicting where guys are going to go and not knowing? I apologize if my voice sounds different. I just had a sneezing fit. I had to pause in the middle of recording, and now I feel like I'm going to sneeze every 5 seconds. I love this weather in November. By the way, the Chicago Cubs posted a picture of Wrigley with snow on the ground. It is too soon for that nonsense to be happening. So there's an article on MLB.com. Five pitchers whose talent the Astros could unlock. So this was the thing. It seemed that anyone who went to the Astros suddenly became like a Cy Young caliber pitcher. And people weren't questioning it. Well, some people weren't questioning it. I was. I thought it was strange that some of these guys who weren't that great were suddenly like lights out. And how does that happen? And Mike Petriello, I think I got it right this time, wrote an article on MLB.com about five pitchers the Astros should try to add. So number one on the list is Sonny Gray. I will tell you right now, if Sonny Gray goes to the Houston Astros and pitches the way he should have pitched when he was with the Yankees, I am going to be so angry. I might actually punch a hole in the wall. That would be so annoying to me. And the Astros tried to get him in 2017. So it's possible that they could, maybe the Yankees could work something out with them. Although, oh God, I mean, wouldn't that be the worst? After watching this guy be a human dumpster fire all season, watch him go to the Astros in 2019 and be lights out. I will be so annoyed And I'm sure every Yankee fan will be really annoyed because we had to sit through watching his starts and watching him stink and then see him go to another team and suddenly pitch like he should have pitched. Another player that they think could be helped by the Astros, Trevor Cahill, Garrett Richards, although he's injured and he's not going to pitch until 2020. He had Tommy John surgery, but they're thinking that maybe he could be one of those people that can go to the Astros and help them out at some point. Drew Pomerantz. I didn't realize Pomerantz was a free agent. I should have known. There's like 100 and my joke with Pomerantz, I always liked on Twitter, I would post his name to the tune of Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys because, one, I'm old, and two, I'm silly. And when I first did it, you know, some of my fellow olds and some of the young kids who know old music got it and appreciated my little joke. I will not sing the tune right now because I am nasal and I won't sound right. Jeremy Hellickson. There's another one. I completely forgot about him. And Petriello mentions last, Tyler Chatwood. He was not great in 2018. He signed a 3-year deal with them, and then he walked more batters than he struck out. And because he was not doing well, he only pitched once after August 18th. Because, you know, the Cubs were embroiled in a tight National League Central race. There was wild card implications, so they couldn't have him pitching. He was almost like their Sonny Gray, in a way. That rhymed. So it's Friday, and there's nothing happening in baseball. Nothing. I'm bored. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can email questions to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also rate the podcast on Apple and on Google. And if you could, spread the word about the podcast to your friends, your family, consider it an early holiday present. Enjoy your weekend. And hopefully we'll have some stuff to discuss on Monday. Have a good weekend.